And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of the 59th Minute FPL Podcast, which is brought to you by The Athletic. I'm Mark McGettigan. You can find me on Twitter at FPL General. It's Christmas week, and it's a busy one for us FPL managers, with two game weeks crunched together this weekend. The game week 15 deadline is Saturday morning, 11 a.m. UK time, followed by the game week 16 deadline on Monday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Because there's no time to record a podcast between those two game weeks, this episode will preview both. Then I'll record a new episode in the middle of next week to preview game week 17. That one will most likely be released on Thursday, December 31st. There's EFL Cup quarterfinals this week with Newcastle, Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham, Everton and Manchester United all in action, so be patient with your Game Week 15 transfers if you can. The main headlines from Game Week 14: Mohamed Salah managed to score 16 points from the bench, Kevin De Bruyne disappointed again, scoring just 5 points, Dominic Calvert-Lewin picked up his third assist on the bounce, Callum Wilson punished the non-believers yet again, Kane and Son disappointed as Vardy and Co beat Spurs 2-0, Bruno Fernandes rewarded captainers with 34 points as Manchester United put 6 past Ilan Meslier in the Leeds goal. Jack Grealish posted another 10-pointer, getting 2 assists against West Brom. And the most owned defender in the game, Ben Chilwell, picked up an injury in Chelsea's 3-0 win over West Ham. If you are not yet an Athletic subscriber, visit theathletic.com/FPLpod to take advantage of the Christmas sign-up offer, where you can gift someone a subscription this week if you're panicking like me last minute about Christmas presents. You'll get ad-free versions of this podcast on the Athletic app. It was a fantastic week for the 59th Minute Club in Game Week 14. My Twitter notifications were going crazy over the last couple of days. We've got no less than 4 new members to the club. 3 defenders: Luke Shaw from Manchester United, Scotty one-pointer, Timothy Castagna making his return to the Leicester starting 11. He, very frustratingly for any owners out there, was taken off 59 minutes, just missed out on the clean sheet points by 1 minute. And at Wolves had 2 members to the club this week. Rayan Aitnouri was taken off in the 59th minute. He had conceded 2 goals as well, so it was a 0-pointer for Aitnouri. And his teammate Owen Otisawi, he's 0.0% owned in the game, and he also got 0 points in Game Week 15 because he picked up a yellow card. So welcome the 4 new members to the club. Hopefully there'll be plenty more over the Christmas period. A quick review of Game Week 14. I banked my transfer going into the game week, so I've got 2 frees now for the Boxing Day fixtures before I wildcard in Game Week 16. Scored 85 points, so very healthy points tally in Game Week 14. Green Arrow from 49k to 30k, so overall very, very happy with how this season is going. The good and the bad. The good, first of all, Captain Bruno for 34 points. That was very enjoyable watching that Leeds game. Mohamed Salah, 16 points from the bench. I got a nice slice of luck this week as well. I started Jamal Lewis, but he didn't feature for Newcastle, so I got James Justin off the bench for an 8-pointer. Did not expect Justin to do well in that Spurs game. That's why he was on the bench in the first place. But nice slice of luck to get him coming in as first sub. Charlie Taylor, nice assist in that Burnley game. Shame he couldn't keep the clean sheet, but I'm not going to complain about getting assist from Charlie. Martinez, my goalkeeper, 6 points. I think he got 8 points last week, so it's a very nice feeling to actually be getting some points now from that goalkeeper position. De Bruyne, 5 points, not great, but it's not a blank either. And Calvert-Lewin, also frustrating to see him get a yellow card when he was taken off. But 4 points, I always say, is much better than 2 points. The bad this week, Chilwell injury. Not much you can do about that. I was out for a walk, and I was coming home to sit down and watch the Chelsea game. I stayed out walking too long, and I switched on the TV about 8:10 to watch Chilwell And I seen Palmieri, Emerson Palmieri, going up the touchline. I was like, what the hell's happened here? Because I knew Chilwell was in the starting 11. So that was disappointing. So he'll probably have to go this week. Heung-min Son, just 2 points. Bamford, 2 points. Bamford frustrating because, you know, like always, Leeds had plenty of chances in that game. Bamford himself had one particular very good chance, which he put wide with his right foot. So frustrating blank there, but he's probably going to stay for the long term anyway, given his price. Ollie Watkins, what can I say about this guy? Anyone who's with me and has owned him for the last couple of weeks, how frustrating has it been? Missed penalties, couple of VAR goals, really close decisions. So very, very frustrating. But again, he'll probably get one more week before the wild card and then I'll let him go. So overall, another very good game week. Hopefully I can keep this momentum going now. Watch list updates. Players removed from the watch list this week. Most of them are injury related. Lamptey is gone. Just can't rely on him at the moment in terms of fitness. The same goes for Danny Ings, who picked up an injury. He's gone from the watch list. So it'll probably be Che Adams, who's in my thoughts for my wildcard game week 16, rather than Danny Ings. Probably would have been the case anyway because of financial reasons. Ings is a lot more expensive. Cavaliero at Fulham picked up an injury in the warm-up at the weekend. So he's gone as well. Benrahma at West Ham, I was surprised to see him on the bench. Mark Noble started ahead of him. So again, can't trust Benrahma at the moment for start. So he's gone from the watch list. Also, Alioski has left the watch list because, you know, Leeds conceded 6 goals. And quite simply, if I was going to go for a Leeds defender, it's got to be Stuart Dallas. You know, he's the guy, you know, I think that's 3 goals for the season now, back-to-back goals in the last 2 game weeks. So I'm going to go Dallas over Alioski if I go for a Leeds defender, which I probably won't, given how many goals they're conceding at the moment. Just 2 players added this week. The man with one of the best names in the Premier League, Andre Frank Zambo Anguissa at Fulham. He's only 4.5 million, and I've been very impressed by this guy this season. I think he's possibly the best 4.5 million midfielder in the game over the likes of Bissouma and Romeu. Anguissa seems to be getting forward a fair bit, creating plenty of chances. I think he's only got 1 yellow card for the season as well, whereas some of the other guys have quite a few. So I like that about him. He doesn't get booked very often because that's often the case with our 4.5 million midfielders. They're, you know, defensive midfielders who often like a tackle and pick up a lot of bookings. But Anguissa, I like him if you're looking for a 4.5 million midfielder. Also added this week, Anthony Martial at Manchester United. He's 8.7 million. He got 3 assists against Leeds and he should have scored a few goals too. He sort of had a couple of very good chances in that game that he should have put away. Over the last 2 game weeks, Martial has scored 22 points. So very healthy numbers there. One player I'm going to mention before I leave the watch list section is Rafinha. Last week when I recorded the podcast, I hadn't watched the highlights yet from the Leeds game. I'd just seen the score. I think they scored 5. Rafinha had no goals, no assists and a yellow card. So I instantly removed him from my watch list. Then I went the next day and I watched the highlights of the Leeds game. And I added Rafinha straight back to the watch list. I think that shows you the importance of the eye test. You know, if you look at the results of the game, maybe without looking at the stats from the game and stuff like that, it's very simple just to get, you know, lose interest in a player. But watching those highlights, Rafinha looked really good. You know, looked at his stats then and they were also really good from that game. So added him to the watch list and then it was no surprise to see him get 2 assists against Manchester United. So Rafinha is very much in my thoughts for game week 16 wildcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
10 of the best Twitter questions now. Thanks as always to everyone who sent them in last night. First one came in from Paul Cathcart. Those like you with De Bruyne, Salah, Son, and Bruno in midfield, what priority order do you rank for keeping with a view to the double game week? Paul says he can't keep them all to improve the rest of his squad come double game week, even with a wild card, if he wants to get the likes of Robertson, Vardy, and other better options. So, KDB, Salah, Son, and Bruno, how do I rank them with double game week 19 in mind? I think it's easy. You know, Salah and Bruno are must-haves at the moment. You keep those two. They've both got a double game week. No reason to sell them whatsoever. Probably 2 of the best players in FPL at the moment. So then it comes to KDB versus Son. or you could even, you know, decide you want to go without either of them. At the moment, you know, I've had Son for quite a few weeks, and I'm pretty sure he's going to survive my wildcard, even though he only has a single game in game week 19. Obviously, I'm going to stick to my plan. I'm going to wildcard 16, free hit 18, and then bench boost 19. But I don't mind keeping players like Son, even though they've only got one game in game week 19, because he can easily outscore those players who have two games. So for me, at the moment, I still rate Son a little bit higher than De Bruyne, simply because he's a goal scorer. He scored, you know, 11, 12 goals this season. De Bruyne still hasn't scored from open play, so it's very much reliant on penalties and assists from De Bruyne. City are not scoring many. So I think at the moment, all the signs are pointing towards, if you're going to lose one of these four, it's got to be De Bruyne. I think a lot of people are going to sell him. His ownership is not scarily high either. So, you know, even if you do sell him and he does well, it's not going to hurt you as much as it might have done maybe last season when he was extremely highly owned. So for me, Salah and Bruno will be going nowhere. Son is very likely to stay in my squad long term as well. And I don't think Kevin De Bruyne will survive the wildcard cull. Question from FPL Robbo. Is the new information about double game week 26 and blank game week 29 changing your chip strategy? So quite simply, no. So I should say, what is the new information first of all? So there was an unexpected announcement this week that the EFL Cup final has been moved. That was due to be in game week 26. It's now moved to game week 33. So that does slightly affect the FPL fixtures. What it means simply is double game week 26 is now going to be a bigger double game week than we expected, slightly bigger. It's still looking likely that game week 19 will be the biggest double game week of the season. What that EFL Cup moving to 33 also means is that in game week 33 itself, it will be a small blank game week with one or two blank fixtures in that one. Again, I'm not the fixtures expert here. Follow Ben Crellin on Twitter if you're not already. He will keep you right, and he explains everything very simply. And he makes life, our life as FPL managers, a lot easier. So the news this week about that, it's not changing my plans, because I think those of us who still have our first wildcard, I think we stick to the plan. I think we wildcard either this week in 15 or in 16. Then we free hit in 18, because we don't need to worry about that when we're building our wildcard squad. And then we set up to bench boost in game week 19 with as many double game week players as you wish. You know, you don't have to have 15. But I think I like just playing what's in front of me. We know what double game week 19 looks like. We don't know what double game week 26 looks like yet. So for me, it doesn't change my plans. I'm going to stick to what I'm doing. What this does change, I think, is for those who don't have a first wildcard, I think it opens up more possibilities for you. You could maybe hold on to your chips a little bit longer. You could, you know, you could keep your bench boost rather than trying to set up for bench boost 19. You know, you could keep it for double game week 26. So you could aim to bench boost in that one. And obviously you could use your second wildcard, you know, shortly before that, then bench boost in 26. That opens the door for triple captain game week 19. You know, you've got players like Salah and Bruno Fernandes with double game week. So the triple captaincy is quite attractive there. So I think that news this week, it's more for people who have already used their first wildcard. For people like me who still have the wildcard, I think we still kind of target this bench boost in game week 19. Next question came in from Rohan. Which players are essential on a game week 16 wildcard? So yesterday was the first day I sat down for an hour, and I looked at the fixtures in a bit of detail, and I put together a very, very quick first wildcard draft. I think if you're like me and you're on a wildcard and you're going to play it in game week 16, we've got very little time to do so, because game week 15 ends on Sunday, game week 16 starts on Monday. So we know we've got less than 24 hours to finalise our squad. So with it being Christmas week, I'm sure many of you will be, you know, not even thinking about FPL Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. So it's important, I think, if you're on a wild card soon, you know, put it together roughly this week before Christmas arrives. Know, you know, 80-90% of what you're going to do with your wild card, so that you don't have to spend the time then at the weekend trying to rush it, because wild cards, they need time. They should never be rushed. So a very quick first draft. I'll just run through the team that I put together yesterday. Now, I'm emphasizing this was very quickly done, because it will change. There'll be probably quite a few changes, but there's probably a core group of players here that will be in my wildcard squad. So I'd probably call them the essential players for me anyway. I would say Kufal and Suchek will be locked in. Charlie Taylor, who I've had all season, will stay. He's just, you know, really cheap, does exactly what it says on the tin, and he's got a double game week. Bruno Fernandes and Salah, absolutely going nowhere. So those two, I would say, are essential for a wild card as well. And the other one, possibly Bamford up front, just because he's such good value and he's got a decent double game week as well. Now, the rest of the squad, so the goalkeepers I put into this one were McCarthy and Johnston. So I'm probably going to go for two goalkeepers around the 4.5 million price tag with bench boost in mind. Defence, I mentioned Koufal and Taylor. Chilwell was in that team I put together yesterday, but he's picked up an injury in the meantime, so he may not survive. Andrew Robertson, who I had earlier in the season, is very likely to come back in on my wildcard. Trent Alexander-Arnold will be under consideration as well. So the five defenders, Robertson, Chilwell, Koufal, Taylor, and I forgot to write down the fifth one. I think it was Alioski, just because I only had 4.4 million left to spend. But when it comes to it, I don't think Alioski will be in the squad. Midfield, Bruno Salah. Son will very likely stay. Suchek almost definitely will be in there as the fifth midfielder. And then Rafinha as a cheap fourth midfielder, because I like what I've seen of him. I like Leeds going forward, and they've got the double game week as well. Up front, probably going to go for a premium striker. I need to decide whether that will be Harry Kane or Jamie Vardy. At the moment, Vardy's in this one due to financial reasons. Obviously, he's got some injury issues now as well, I need to keep an eye on. Bamford will definitely stay. And Che Adams, I like what I've seen of him this season as well. Again, Southampton have a double game week. And most of these players I've mentioned, you know, the likes of Koufal, Suchek, Adams, Bamford, Bruno, Salah, you know, the goalkeepers, Robertson, they're not just for double game week 19. I like these players as long-term picks as well. This draft has 14 double game weekers, with Son being the only single game weeker. Now, I would say that will likely change. I would say I will have less than 14 double game weekers. I would say it's more likely that I'll have 12 or 13. There's a lot of players I didn't mention here who, you know, it's going to be very hard to go without. De Bruyne, Harry Kane I didn't mention here, but it's probably between him and Vardy for that premium striker spot. Diaz at Manchester City, I think there's a very good chance I'll go with him in my wildcard, even though he doesn't have a double game week. Who else? Calvert-Lewin. He's been in my squad all season. I think it's going to be one of the hardest decisions for me is, do I keep him or do I sell him? He's not, you know, doing serious damage at the moment for those who don't own him. He's obviously very highly owned as well. So maybe there's an opportunity there to go for someone who's less owned, you know, and try and push me up a little bit and back a player to outscore Calvert-Lewin, maybe somebody like Che Adams. The thing about Calvert-Lewin is, when he's, you know, I can probably get about 7.5 million if I sell him. I can get fairly similar assets for about 6 million, the likes of Bamford and Adams. So although I don't really want to sell Calvert-Lewin because he's been good to me all season, I don't think he'll survive the wild card the way I'm thinking at the moment. Jack Grealish is another one I didn't mention. You know, such a good asset. It's going to be very, very hard to find space for him in the wildcard squad. The other thing I need to think about, I mentioned here the goalkeepers, McCarthy and Johnston. Now, I brought in Martinez 2 weeks ago and he's been great for me. So why don't I just keep him for the for the rest of the season as my number one choice goalkeeper? Maybe get someone like McCarthy or Johnston in for, you know, to go alongside him on the bench boost. But even though Martinez only has one game in game week 19, you know, he is going to have double game weeks at some point as well. So there's a good chance Martinez may actually survive and I'll keep him even though he doesn't have a double game week 19. So that just gives you an idea of what I'm thinking for wildcard 16. Like I said, we're going to have another game week of information before I have to finalize this. So it is subject to change, but those core players will probably stay there. Next question came in from Peterke30. Is now a good time to get the Robertson TAA double up, especially with James and Chilwell out, or is one enough because both of them is too expensive? So I had a look at the Liverpool fixtures. The next few are West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, then they blank in 18, and then they have the double game week 19. So the fixtures are pretty good for Liverpool. I think what I've seen of Robertson and Trent over the last game or two, I've really liked what I've seen. You know, we know Robertson's been excellent all season. I've liked what I've seen of Trent getting into the box more often in the last couple of games as well, particularly against Crystal Palace. Do I like the double up? Absolutely, yes. It's just a question of, can you afford it with all the things we want to do in midfield and attack? If you can go to double Liverpool defence, I think it's a pretty good strategy for the next couple of game weeks and maybe for the rest of the season. Also, For me, I think with wildcard, I just think it's going to be very hard to get both of them. So it's going to be a decision, I think, Robertson or Trent. And I think I'll just go back to Robertson, who, you know, I had for most of the first chunk of the season. You know, I still think he looks really good on the eye test, getting forward, getting into the box. So, yeah, Robertson for me, I think. But yeah, if you can get to both, I think that's absolutely viable. Question from Alan Houlihan. With the fixtures of double game week targets from the likes of Southampton, West Ham, Liverpool and Leeds all falling favourably this week, is there a case to be made for wildcarding this week rather than waiting until game week 16, which is only 2 days later? Absolutely. I think we can wildcard now if we want to. The reason I'm not is because I'm very happy with my team for game week 15. I've got two free transfers, so I don't really feel the need to go a week earlier. I always like an extra week of information because we know how quickly things can change in FPL. Even though game week 16 is only 2 days later, you know, our thinking can completely change when we watch the games in game week 15. Little things as well, like yellow cards. You know, I want to be very careful with the players I pick with double game week 19 in mind. I don't want to pick cheap defenders, for example, that have four yellow cards. So having that extra week of information to have a look at those yellow cards as well, you know, ahead of game week 16 is another reason why I'm going to wait. There's also a small chance there could be more fixtures rearranged before the game week 16 deadline. The likes of, I think, the EFL Cup games this week, for example, if Manchester United get knocked out by Everton. I think there's a chance, according to a few podcasts I listened to, that the Manchester United Burnley fixture, there's a small chance that could go to game week 17. So, again, but we might know that before game week 15 anyway, so that might be irrelevant. But again, there's lots of little things that can change. COVID's always there in the background as well. So I think just if you're happy with your squad for 15, wait until 16 for your wildcard. If you don't like your team for 15 and you think there's an opportunity there to get ahead a little bit of us wildcarders in 16, there's nothing stopping you really from going in game week 15 with the wildcard. Question from Mikey U. Who are the best 1 week punts for those on wildcard game week 16? So I've gone through the fixtures for game week 15 and I've picked out a few differential options. Aston Villa play Crystal Palace, El Ghazi or Traore are differential options. The worry there is Ross Barkley is likely to come back in, so it could be El Ghazi or Traore who miss out. But again, Barkley could just be on the bench because those two guys are playing pretty well the last couple of games. Lookman against Southampton is an option. I think Theo Walcott is a punt of all punts. He's a player you don't ever really want to own in FPL these days. But for nostalgic reasons, maybe, you know, a Boxing Day punt on Theo Walcott against Fulham. You only need to own him for 1 week. You can wildcard him out then. Pulisic, again, these are all players I don't really want to own long term, but I would be happy to own them just for one game week. Pulisic against Arsenal. You could buy a ticket to the Manchester City midfielder lottery against Newcastle. Richarlison against Sheffield United. You could buy a Leeds midfielder, you know, Rafinha, Clich, Harrison. Take your pick for a 1 week punt against Burnley. Jared Bowen at West Ham, Welbeck at Brighton, and Firmino, who's playing very, very well, he's got a very good fixture against West Brom. Again, I wouldn't want to have Firmino long term, but I'd happily own him for the West Brom fixture. So there's a few options for you to consider. Question from FT Lol Podcast. If you are free hitting in game week 18, who are the top five players to get? So when it comes to free hit 18, who will be the first five players on my free hit? Kane and Son against Aston Villa and Three City. I think it's pretty simple. The first five picks are pretty easy. You get Three City players, City play Brighton, and you get Son and Kane. So it'll be De Bruyne, Diaz, and then one more. Now you have to decide, do you go after the clean sheet and the safety of a start? Do you get Ederson or you know, take a chance on a Cancelo or a Walker? Or do you go for a Mahrez type or an Aguero type if he's fit and firing by then? So yeah, Three City players, Son and Kane will make up five of my 11 on the free hit 18. Next one from Callum Gallagher. Best Chilwell replacements. So yeah, I think we need to wait for an update end of the week on Chilwell. It didn't look good rolling that ankle. It looked pretty nasty. So I'd be surprised if he was back for the weekend. I think he's having a scan today, which is Tuesday. So hopefully we will have more information on him. It looks like we'll be forced to sell him. Who are the best replacements? If you've got cash, go straight to Robertson or Trent. Pretty simple. If you don't have cash, and if you're thinking ahead to double game week 19, I like the West Ham guys. Koufal, or if you want to spend a little bit extra, Aaron Cresswell is a very good option as well. Diaz is another one, Manchester City. I would go straight from Chilwell to Diaz. I wouldn't even think twice about that one. Eric Dier is another option to consider as well, thinking a bit longer term. FPL Boogle, what is the maximum number of single game week players you would recommend holding on to for double game week 19? So I think this depends whether you have your first wild card or you don't. If you have your first wild card, I would want to have probably a minimum of 10 players who have a double game week. So that would leave 5 players with a single game week. Now, like I said, you don't need to have 15 double game weekers. I think I'm most likely to have 12 or 13. I'm pretty sure Son will survive. You know, I might change my mind on De Bruyne. Harry Kane might come in instead of Vardy. Diaz might come in, even though he's only got a single game week. So I'm looking at probably 12 or 13 double game weekers. But I think if you've got a wild card, you'd be looking at, you'd want to have 10, I think, who've got 2 games as a minimum. If you don't have a wild card and you're just building slowly towards it, I think if you can get yourself to 7 or 8 players who have a double game week, I think that's absolutely fine. Don't stress too much over these double game weeks and blank game weeks. They're very often a disappointment. It's the most important thing in FPL is to be consistent over 38 game weeks. We always get overexcited. We overthink when it comes to double game weeks and blank game weeks. Don't worry about them too much. Don't stress over the chips. The chips are not worth much either in the grand scheme of things. You know, we score usually, 2,300 or 2,400 points over the course of a season for our teams. The chips, if you can get 20 points from each chip, you're doing well. So, you know, think of the bigger picture. Don't stress too much over this planning and these chips. Final question for this week from FPL Universe. Which one is better, Robertson or Grealish? This is a tough question. I've seen quite a few people kind of comparing these two players this week. You know, who would you rather own long-term, Robertson at 7.2 million or Grealish at 7.8? Ideally, you'd probably want to have both of them. But again, double game weeks and all that on the horizon, it's quite hard probably to have both of these players. My gut instinct is Grealish. I think he's just having a very, very good season. You know, creating chances, scoring goals. He's the talisman at Aston Villa. You know, I love Robertson as a pick as well. I would rather have both of them. But if I was forced to choose between these two, you know, own one of these players from now until the end of the season, I think I would go for Jack Grealish just the way he's playing this season.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
A look at captaincy now for the next 2 game weeks, so game week 15 and game week 16. Game week 15, first of all, I think it's probably one of the easiest captaincy decisions of the season if you own Mohamed Salah. He didn't start last week, so surely he starts this week. West Brom at home doesn't get much better than that in terms of fixtures. Mohamed Salah will be my captain for game week 15. Kevin De Bruyne, if you own him, is tempting as well, even though he's been disappointing. You know, home to Newcastle, really good fixture there. City could really get into gear in terms of goals in that one. So De Bruyne will probably be my vice-captain. Other options, Kane and Son are away to Wolves. Do I like that for captaincy? Not really. I always back Wolves to defend pretty well. Manchester United are away to Leicester, so I don't love Bruno in that one either. So yeah, for me, I think it's between Salah and KDB this week. And if you own Salah, I just think, you know, best player in the game at the moment, I don't think you overthink it. Looking ahead to game week 16, captaincy. Again, Salah, good option. He's away to Newcastle. If he does well against West Brom, I think I'll probably just leave it on him for the Newcastle game as well. Kane and Son are very good options in game week 16. They are at home to Fulham. So depending on which one, or maybe I'll get both of them on my game week 16 wildcard, I will have them as options for captaincy as well. Other fixtures, Bruno plays Wolves. Again, much like Spurs playing Wolves, I never feel confident captaining a player against Wolves because they're a good defensive side. Manchester City are away to Everton in game week 16. Do I like De Bruyne in that one? Not as much as I like Salah against Newcastle or Kane or Son against Fulham. So Salah for me this week, very possibly Salah again in game week 16 or one of the Spurs guys. What am I going to do with my transfers this week? I've got two free transfers. I could take a few attacking punts, but I'm very happy with my front seven. So I've got Bruno, Salah, KDB and Son. Not going to sell any of those guys. I've got Calvert-Lewin, Bamford and Watkins up front. They've all got good fixtures. Watkins has been disappointing, but Crystal Palace at home, I'm not going to sell him before that one. So as much as I would like to take a few exciting one-week punts like the ones I mentioned earlier, it's going to be probably a pretty boring couple of transfers for me, which suits my style of play anyway. I've got issues in defence now. I've got Chilwell injured. Lewis didn't play last week and he's got Manchester City away this week. Charlie Taylor has got Leeds away, so I don't want to start him in that one. James Justin plays Manchester United. Tough fixture there as well. Kyle Walker-Peters has probably got the best fixture of all my defenders, but it's still an away trip to Fulham, who've been good recently. So basically my defence is my weak area this week. Rather than do something exciting in attack, I'm just going to shore up my defence, make myself stronger for game week 15. So two free transfers, most likely, if Chilwell's ruled out, I'll keep it simple. I'll get rid of Chilwell and I'll get Diaz from Manchester City for that Newcastle game. Should be a clean sheet and hopefully a few bonus like last week. And then I'll get rid of Lewis for most likely Koufal, who plays Brighton at home. So good chance of a clean sheet there. I also want him on a wild card anyway. So if I get him now, you know, I can probably save 0.1 million before getting him at the weekend. So that will leave me with, yeah, Chilwell, Koufal and Walker-Peters as my back three this week. The other option, I've got 0.0 million in the bank, so I could end up getting priced out and I may need to go for someone else other than Koufal. Dallas is another option. Let's say Koufal goes up in price. I could go for Dallas just for 1 week because he's got Burnley at home. Pretty sure I probably won't make any moves until Friday night or Saturday morning, just to have as much information as possible, as always. Thanks for taking the time to listen. I hope you found this episode useful. If you'd like to hear more from me this week, check out patreon.com/FPL General. I'll be back next Thursday to preview Game Week 17. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. It will be a different one this year, but at least we've got plenty of football on the box to keep us entertained. Have a good one. Don't make drunk transfers. Don't play your wild card under the influence. Be very, very careful. It's a very dangerous time of year for FPL managers, so be careful. Talk to you all next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.